Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and my guest today is Dr. Neil Cherry. Dr. Cherry is from New Zealand. He has a doctorate in physics. That's where the doctor comes from, and he's done so many things I just don't even know where to start. He has gotten a couple of prizes for services to peace and disarmament research and education, and for defending the honesty of science. That the latter one, for defending the honesty of science, was just in this year, 2001. And Dr. Cherry works with meteorology, radio frequency, agriculture, land and water resources, wind energy, climate research, electromagnetic radiation, and the health effects of all these things, and just on and on. As I was saying, Dr. Cherry, I don't know. And you said that you have a consultant company and you're an elected official in New Zealand where you live. Incredible. And now you're right passing through the Bay Area here.
Yes, well, I was invited to an annual Italian Congress on the health effects of electromagnetic radiation, so I thought I'd take the opportunity to come to the Bay Area, and then I'm going up to Seattle, then I'm visiting my daughter in England, mm-hmm. visiting laboratories and universities in Europe, and going to this Congress.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you've also written about and done research on the Sutro Tower right here in San Francisco, so we're going to be talking about that. I just don't even know where to start. The whole issue of electromagnetic radiation is something that one of the many things that people don't seem to be wanting to really face, and they get a lot of information from the companies that put out that make money from this, from the microwave devices. I don't know too much about this, so I know you have lots and lots of evidence. Since we live in San Francisco here, let's just start with, since I live in the Bay Area, let's start with that, the Sutro Tower.
Yes, well, there's been a lot of community concern about the Sutro Tower for a long time in terms of the health effects, and the City Health Department did a study.
Oh, excuse me, I'm just going to interrupt you and say the Sutro Tower is a big, huge, huge, huge radio tower in San Francisco.
It's not just radio, but also TV. It's got over 30 megawatts of radio frequency output. So it's a massive system, with most of the radio and TV for San Francisco comes from a single source. And so if there are any effects from it, then it's focused on that source. So it's focused largely towards the main area of downtown and to Oakland and Berkeley on the other side. There's very little going to the west because it's just one little suburb there. Mm-hmm. And so, as I mentioned, the City Health Department did a study and they found the doubling or more doubling of the childhood cancer in just to the east of the tower in the Noe Valley area. And so I thought I would carry out a study of the spatial distribution of cancer. And I looked at a study done in Britain around radio and TV towers there. And that seemed to me to follow the radiation patterns, because using my physics background, I looked at the way that the radiation comes out from the tower and is focused at various points. And so it goes not through a single line, but it goes up and down. And so it gives us a good opportunity that if the cancer rates go up and down as you go out from the tower and match the radiation, it's very strongly causal. And so I obtained an environmental impact report which had information about the radiation patterns, and I obtained the childhood cancer data from a published paper, and they match. I did three studies. I said, within a kilometre of the tower, out to about 4.5 kilometres, and outside 4.5 kilometres, what are the cancer rates? And from outside, low, middle, high for all these childhood cancers. And then I said, what about this undulating pattern that was measured and theoretically shown? And it goes up and down with the pattern perfectly. And they said, well, let's say we don't know what the pattern really is, and start 8 kilometres away and see if the cancer just keeps on increasing the closer to the tower you get, and it does. So three totally independent analyses all point to the hypothesis that these signals produce cancer in residential levels of exposure. Mm-hmm. That was the hypothesis behind the paper. Mm-hmm. And it's backed up by at least 6 other studies. Around the Vatican Radio Tower in Rome, there is a decrease in cancer as you go away from the tower for adult cancer and childhood cancer. And the same thing in the UK, and also there was a study done in Australia. So it's quite strong evidence that these things are carcinogenic. Now, if it's carcinogenic, what is causing the cancer is what question that I asked. What is the mechanism? And so I did the search in the literature, and I found there were dozens of studies showing chromosome damage. And chromosome damage means DNA damage, because chromosomes are built out of DNA. And now we have got the research from America and from Europe showing DNA damage from microwaves and radio waves. And I was surprised to find the first paper showing chromosome damage from radio frequency signals was published in 1959. Mm-hmm. And recently in a court case, I was giving evidence for a police officer who had a radar exposing his head for years, and he got a brain tumour on that side of his head. And the state attorney general opposing my position said that Dr. Cherry's position that these things cause chromosome damage and DNA damage is a novel position. And the attorney on my side said, well, we've known it since 1959, so it's not novel. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was surprised. I'm what I call a magpie, that I collect all this information and I put it together, mm-hmm. and try and build the whole picture to see how it fits together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and clearly if that information is true about here, it's true about these kinds of towers all over the world. So why don't we know this?
Well, because government officials, in the Western world particularly, and the companies and the military, all don't want to accept this evidence, because that would then mean that radars are a problem, that military systems are a problem, that workers in these areas might get cancer or might get heart attacks or all that kind of stuff, and that the population cancer rates must be associated with something else. Not the cell phones, not the radio towers, not the TV towers, not the media that's giving all the information. So you can see the conflict of interest here. But the thing that really annoys me most, because I'm an independent academic that reaches out to look at the scientific research and pulls it in, and I'm on the Standards Committee in New Zealand, but it's dominated by people who take the telecom position, including government officials who appear in court for telecom. And that happens all around the world, and particularly the Western world. And so the public health protection isn't based on epidemiology, which is the studies of public health. Mm-hmm. It's based on the assumption that the only thing that these things can cause is heat. Because after the war, all these radars and radios were used, and they said, oh, we know they heat people, so let's avoid heat. And then the work on ionizing radiation from nuclear powers and nuclear bombs, things like that. There was a big argument for many years about, does that cause cancer? Or just the blast in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, was it just flying glass and falling buildings that caused the problem? And we found that caused cancer. And they said, why does it cause cancer? Because it is causing ionizing radiation, ionizes things in the body, and the free radicals that are formed by ionizing damage the DNA, therefore it can cause cancer. Now, therefore ionizing radiation causes cancer. If it's non-ionizing, it can't cause cancer. But chemicals aren't ionizing and they cause cancer, mm-hmm. by interfering with cells, by damaging the DNA. And so I've discovered that the body is full of electromagnetic signals. Our brain is an electromagnetic organ. Our central nervous system, every cell communicates with its neighbours to see how they are using electromagnetic signals. And so it's an internal thing. And there's a concept in physics and in telecommunications called interference, resonant absorption, an aerial effect. We have all of that in our bodies. And so I was surprised to find that there's so sensible biological, biophysical understanding within our bodies that says these signals interfere with us through resonant absorption by our brains, through damaging our chromosomes in our cells. And so I came up with these simple ideas. Okay, if we have a conductor in us, like water, can we be an aerial? If we're an aerial, what is the organ that goes through our body? Our circulation system, our blood, which is full of water. So what's the main cancer that's caused? Leukemia, which occurs in the blood and the bone marrow going through our bodies. And so whether we're going under power lines with these fields causing an induced field in our bodies with a current flowing down our body to Earth, or we're standing in a radio field that hits us, gets absorbed in our body and causes a current to flow to Earth, same thing, then we get leukemia. And our sensitive brains, we get brain cancer. And so I have found all these studies showing chromosome damage, DNA damage, which then suggests that you might have other diseases like neurological disease, heart disease, reproductive disease, and there are occupational studies showing all of those diseases. And for radio frequency exposure, for electrical workers, and I've now done the research about the natural radiation, which was here long before people existed. Mm-hmm. And I find exactly the same health effects.
Really? So, I would like you to talk about that, the health effects from what? I mean, when you say natural, and I know that you've been doing research about the effects of the sun and all kind. Well, you explain it because I don't know that much, but it's very interesting and important.
Yes, well, it's a phenomenon which was first thought about by Professor Schumann in Germany in the post-war period, and so they are termed the Schumann resonances. And they are produced by thunderstorms, and most of the thunderstorms in the world are near the equator, that are the lightning's going bang, 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 and it radiates energy out. It's trapped between the ionosphere and the Earth and goes around the Earth at the speed of light. And if you work that out, it goes around 8 times a second, 8 cycles per second. And then there are harmonics at about 14 and 21 and 22 and 26 cycles per second. And I noticed the similarity between the human EEG in our brains, the brain waves, and these frequencies. And I went back to the Schumann research from the 1950s in Germany and found that they had said that there is a very strong similarity between the human brain waves and the Schumann resonances. So let's do some research to see whether can we alter them by external signals. And they found that the nighttime-dominated signals are less than 5 cycles per second, and the daytime are typically 10 cycles a second and more. And they exposed students to 3 cycles per second signals and slowed them down, and 10 cycles per second and sped them up.
You mean so their behavior, their thinking, everything in their, all their bodily functions speed up or slow down?
Their brain waves speed up, and their calculation ability gets faster and slower. Their reaction time changes. And the research that followed up here in the United States showed that, yes, reaction time changes, the EEG changes, and it's caused by calcium ion efflux and influx. And calcium ions control the neurotransmitters in the brain, form the EEG patterns, are well organized if you're thinking well, mm-hmm. and they're well organized at these frequencies. And if you expose the brain to these frequencies, you alter the calcium ions and therefore alter the brain patterns. Now that's what Professor Ross Ady in California showed, repeated by the EPA, Carl Blackman, and it's been repeated in about 10 or 20 laboratories around the world that calcium ions are changed by these signals. So it's very well established, and it makes a lot of sense in terms of physics and biology. So the frequencies match, and the cells react and change their behavior, which changes the brain pattern, the reaction time. And so I thought to myself, are the Germans correct? Because there is now a large body of research showing that after a solar storm, after there are flares on the sun, there's a geomagnetic storm on Earth, then there are all these effects found in the human population. Like there's more aggression, there's more suicide, there are epileptic fits, there's more sudden infant death syndrome, so there are heart attacks. So it goes through the spectrum, and there's an undulation in the sunspot cycle of 11 years. You can find that undulation in the suicide rate. You can find it in the benign breast cancer rate. So I thought, what? How can spots on the sun cause cancer on Earth, or cot death, or sudden infant death syndrome on Earth? And is it something that biology talks about, which is homeostasis? Is there a natural level that if you go up above it, you cause problems in the vulnerable, or if you go down, you cause problems in the vulnerable, which would suggest that there is a tuning into the signal? And that's what the Germans were saying. This signal synchronizes the timing of our brains. I said, well, if that's the case, then if it changes, it might change our hormones. And the most recent research in Colorado shows electrical workers have all sorts of reduced melatonin. That's our day-night neurohormone. It works with the serotonin. Serotonin is the daytime hormone, melatonin the nighttime hormone. They showed the electrical workers had reduced melatonin, and they, when they used their cell phones, they had reduced melatonin, and they found this undulation which didn't relate to any of those factors. So they related it to geomagnetic activity, the solar activity effect on the ionosphere and our magnetic field. And that showed the higher the geomagnetic activity, the lower the melatonin in those workers. And a dose response, which is a very strong connection. And so the idea that our brains are tuned by this signal, that when it goes too high or too low, it alters our brain activity, it alters our melatonin, our serotonin, that means that all the things that our daily cycle changes, you know, you go to sleep, your brain slows down, your heart slows down, your breathing slows down, your stomach slows down, because it's connected to your body by the serotonin-melatonin system. And so if something interferes with that, then it can cause brain effects, heart effects, stomach effects, reproductive effects, cancer effects, because melatonin is a very potent free radical scavenger. So if it's reduced, it can cause cancer and all those other effects. And so the research confirms it. And then I said, if that's true, then in occupational exposures that are 1,000 times higher to 1,000,000 times higher, the same effects should be found. And they are. Mm-hmm. And from RF, radio frequency radiation, microwave radiation, the effects should be found. And they are much higher, which is sensible because they impact your body much more strongly.
Mm-hmm. Wow, well, this is really a lot to take in, Dr. Neil Cherry. And I'm sort of getting the drift, and probably some people are understanding more and some people are understanding less. So, but I'm getting that there's very, very a huge amount of evidence, an incontroversial amount of evidence to show that there are connections between our environment and our brains and our thinking and sleeping and behavior. And you even said suicide and violence and all these things. And there are many things that are affecting us in these ways that don't get talked about. So it's always amazing to me when people say, oh, we don't know what causes cancer. I mean, there's just, even without knowing about science, I can imagine what all these disruptions in our environment cause cancer. So how, if you would say more about what, how this is affecting our lives, and I mean, we're speaking on the radio here. People are hearing us on the radio. Should we turn off the radio and not talk on the radio anymore? I've always heard that sunspots affect shortwave reception, and it didn't mean a thing to me. But so I guess in the short time we have, we can only say that there's just a lot of, besides what you've already explained, that there's a lot of connections between these things, and then there's the political aspect and the health aspect that doesn't get paid attention to. So if you could talk a little bit about that and leave some time about what you think we could do instead, because I know that you work with solar energy and wind energy and have some ideas about what how we can do it differently so it will be not bad for our health.
Yes, well, I like the parallel between motor vehicles. I'm addicted to my car because I just can't get around without it. But a car is a dangerous animal. It kills people. It's a dangerous thing. But we've made them as safe as we can. We've made the roads safer. They're still dangerous. It's dangerous crossing the road, more dangerous than flying. So it's not. I'm not against technology. I'm supportive of smart, safer public health protection technology. Now, for example, the mobile phones can be made over 99% safer, and even 99.9% safer. Mm-hmm. And I know that is available. There are patents for that kind of thing. I know the technology very well. And you can find the same, you can have your radio and your TV through a fibre optic cable. And so our telecommunications for our media have got a safer technology that's available, cable. But the fibre optic cable uses light, not fields, not radiation. So we're using the atmosphere as a cheap mechanism for transferring the signals. It's more expensive to use wires and fibre optic cables, but the technology is available, and we should, in our cities, as much as possible, move our signals into cables so that we're not irradiating genotoxic signals into our community, drastically increasing our cancer rates, all the cancer rates. And I go further than that and say one of the problems actually is in the home. Electricity is a wonderful thing, all the appliances. But I find in homes the fields can be 20 times higher in some homes than others. That means the cancer rate can be 20 times higher in one's homes than others because the wiring in houses is now in multiple studies associated with cancer. Mm-hmm. And so energy efficiency, passive solar, all those lovely things that we now know how to do, and we've only known passive solar for 3,000 years. The Greeks used to use it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I go back into the history and find what's the history of that knowledge. That if we can use the natural solar cycles, the natural thing of shady trees, that somebody comes and takes a leave off in winter so that you can get the sunshine into your house in winter. The windows are larger on the sunny side of the season, and they're smaller on the south side. You would say the north side in your hemisphere. But there are so many ways that we can use human intelligence to make our lives safer and more comfortable and cheaper. Because a lot of these things are actually far cheaper and don't use fossil fuels, don't cause global warming. And so the solutions actually solve so many environmental problems, the global climate problem and the human health problem, and a drastic reduction in our health pressure on our hospitals and our doctors. Because we should be into prevention, not treatment. And there's a strong pressure not to do that. Because those who are producing the drugs and the chemicals are the same companies. And I'm afraid that most doctors don't know what I know. I'm an environmental scientist looking at environmental factors. And most doctors haven't got a clue what I'm talking about and what the research shows. Mm-hmm. It would be great if our medical people would become aware of this and encourage their patients to do much more healthy things and encourage their politicians to protect public health. And so that we could then have warmer and healthier homes, safer transport, and a whole much lower cancer rate. Because the latest research that I've seen from other researchers is that the wiring in houses causes a drastic increase in a particular indicator cancer for very young children. 2 to 5 year old children have this acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And it only occurs in populations after the wiring in houses has occurred. It occurred state by state in the US. It occurred only in Africa in the urban areas until, etc. It occurred in only the Gaza Strip after the wiring went in. So this, when you track that cancer, every other cancer goes up in parallel with it. And it's risen by a factor of over 10 in the first half of last century and continued to go up since then. It implies that over a factor of 10 of the cancer is avoidable. Now, that would make a drastic improvement in our homes and in our hospitals, wouldn't it? And in our costs and in the taxes. So I think this information is very important for the economy, more than just public health.
Yeah, and I'm sure that companies could figure out some way to make money from some of these things, since that's so important to them. We only have a little bit of time left, and I wondered if you would say something, please, about climate change, Dr. Cherry.
Well, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the biggest group of climatologists in the world, has come out with a very strong report saying human beings are changing the climate. We have cooled by 0.1 degrees Celsius in the last 1,000 years and warmed by 0.6 degrees Celsius in the last 150 years. It's very conclusive. And that's causing changes in human resonances. It's causing more floods, more hurricanes, more droughts, more out-of-season frosts. It's causing the movement of weather systems away from where there was reliable rain to less reliable rain, where there didn't used to be floods, but there are floods. So what people have done for hundreds and thousands of years is now having to change. So where you could grow grapes, you can't anymore, and things like that. So we have to take that seriously. And what I've mentioned about our homes and our energy efficiency and having much more efficient transport systems are the major sources of the global warming CO2, the fossil fuels, the coal, the oil, the natural gas. So if we go for an energy efficient, sustainable approach to our lives, then we would drastically reduce the costs, but also the global costs. And the insurance companies are taking the lead because they're paying the costs. And you'll find your insurance rates will go up, not just because of big oil tankers like the Exxon Valdez, but because of hurricanes, because of more damage along the Florida coast, etc. And we should not be putting homes in floodplains and in hurricane areas. But too late, we've done it. We've got major cities in these areas. So we need to have mitigation measures, we have evacuation measures. These things will happen for over 100 years after we stabilise CO2. The longer we take to do that, the longer these will go into the next generation, the generation after that.
Well, there is so much evidence and so much denial at the same time. Are people in New Zealand or in your travels around the world, do you find that people, the general public, is at all taking what you have to say and your findings seriously, Dr. Neil Cherry?
When I've explained it carefully to groups, then it's taken quite seriously. But the officials are a filter to our politicians. And if they filter out this evidence, then the politicians haven't got a clue and they don't make good democratic decisions. Mm-hmm. So we need to have a way of getting past the officials to the politicians. And I think the media and your program is a very important role for that, because I can quote the papers, I can show the papers, I can show the analysis, and there are scientists around the world in all these areas in energy and energy efficiency and health effects and epidemiology that have published this material, and they can support this information. But very few put it all together like I have, because my experience was over so many background things that it all comes together to make sense to me. So it's my joy to explain it to people, my frustration that officials and politicians can't hear.
Yeah, well, I can certainly understand your frustration. And I want to let people know how to get a hold of you if they have questions and want to discuss this further or get more information. You have certainly lots of written material. And Dr. Neil Cherry can be found by email, Neil, N-E-I-L, dot Cherry, C-H-E-R-R-Y, at E-C-A-N, and that refers to your electorate position, right, in the environmental...
Canterbury.
Environmental, yes. Canterbury. So E-C-A-N dot... G-O-V-T dot N-Z. Again, that's Neil, N-E-I-L dot Cherry at E-C-A-N dot G-O-V-T dot N-Z. And Dr. Neil Cherry is from New Zealand. That's what the N-Z is about. So thank you very much, very, very much, Neil Cherry. And my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your work.
Thank you very much, Sue, and thank you for your work too. It's the teamwork that counts.